As promised, legislative update. You got to stay on top of these things because you turn around. The Santa Barbara City Council is meeting this week on rental changes, rental housing, how it could affect rental housing. And, you know, it all started a few years back when some guy bought up like hundreds of units, I don't know how many buildings, and he basically evicted everyone at once, which was a incredibly stupid move. And then, of course, everyone got up in arms and was, we got to stop this happening again, which you should. But it just, I think it, anyway, I thoroughly believe that you need to protect tenants' rights and you can't have people just, you know, evicting people and all that. He made a horrible mistake, but generally it's not, it doesn't happen that way. So Santa Barbara is meeting this week and we are, we're going to see what comes out. And I guess the city council is meeting Tuesday. And we're going to find out. But the state has many, many bills running. And one of them is to cap annual rent increases based on the rate of inflation plus a yet-to-be-determined figure. Now, a lot of commercial leases are done that way. You've got an index. I can't remember the index. I don't do commercial. CD something, three initials. So they want to cap annual rent increases based on the rate of inflation. Well, I don't know. That could be good or bad. And then the, oh, God, I just got bad news. The guy from the concrete fence company fell. And the fence fell on him, and he can't join us. Did he actually call under a fence, or is he?
It was a muffled.
He has nothing to do with the. Okay.
No.
So, you know, capping annual rent increases based on the rate of inflation. You know, what if we have a lot of inflation? What does that do to tenants? Plus a yet to be determined figure. That figures. Another bill would bar landlords from evicting tenants without demonstrating cause. I'm surprised they didn't use just cause. I know there have been, over the years, San Francisco is known for having a lot of tenant protection laws, and one would actually prevent an owner, let's say you owned a house and you've been renting it and you wanted to move in, you know, it made it onerous or difficult to do that. And requires, you know, paying tenants. I think one of the things being discussed at Santa Barbara City Council is having them require paying tenants to be paid four times the monthly rent. And if you had up to, I think it would apply to up to 15 units. So that could be a lot of money. But you can't evict tenants without demonstrating cause. Well, you know, how often does a landlord want to evict a tenant without demonstrating cause? I mean, a capricious, you know, you decide you don't like the tenant. I mean, does it happen? Sure. And should you prevent it from happening? Sure. But how often does it happen? Certainly don't want to evict tenants without demonstrating cause. That's reasonable. Another bill. I'm not reading the numbers of the bills. You're not going to take notes and write this down. Another bill would allow local governments to cap rents on single-family residences and on construction at least 10 years old, but would exempt landlords with just one or two units. So that's essentially allowing rent control because you're allowing governments to cap rents. It's interesting, just on single-family residences and on construction at least 10 years old. I don't know why. but would exempt landlords with just one or two units. So they're not putting it to apartments, just for those who rent out single-family residences. Interesting. And interesting, it's from a representative from Santa Monica, which has a lot of extraordinary, and some would deem extreme, rent control laws. Did he get out from under the fence?
No.
That wasn't him?
No.
Another bill would require landlords to report annually on data such as units owned, rent collected, and evictions. Well, I'm thinking if you file taxes, you probably put down the number of units that you own and the rent that you've collected. You probably, on the IRS, doesn't have forms say we want to know how many evictions you had. So they want to, proposing to police landlords. So what if someone's evicting someone too often? Does that mean they're going to get looked at? They're going to get audited? Again, I'm not a landlord-tenant expert, but over the years, I was a tenant. Managed some rentals. Landlords want to collect rent. They want to keep tenants happy. They don't want to evict people. Again, the extraordinary case where the guy evicted, you know, hundreds of people at once. And then finally, proposes to allow a tenant to permit an individual or family at risk of homelessness to occupy their unit for up to 12 months, even if this would be a violation of the lease. I don't understand that at all. Does that mean after you've had a 12-month lease and it's over, you have the right to occupy it for a second 12-month? I met someone who had a rental, and he negotiated really hard on it, and he had options. This is more common in commercial. Usually, if you rent a commercial space and you, it's usually like a 5-year lease. Could be 10, could be 8. And then you might have 2 or 3 5-year options. Again, it's always tied to this index. So the landlord is getting a return based on something deemed reasonable between all parties. But if you're a commercial tenant and you have a business, you've got to have the ability to stay there. Residential, no such thing. This sounds like it's trying to meld some commercial law, and I should say not law, but practice. So this one guy I met, he negotiated a lease with multiple 12-month options with no rent increases, and the rent was low, and he told me the landlord wasn't happy. Why the landlord signed up for that in the first place, I'll never know. It's the most remarkable thing I ever heard. This morning I shot an elephant in my pajamas. How he got in my pajamas, I'll never know. So, you know, you can negotiate anything you want with a landlord, but this is to allow an individual or family at risk of homelessness. Of course, if your lease is coming to an end, you're at risk of homelessness, to occupy the unit up to 12 months, even if this would be a violation of the lease. That sounds a little bit like Big Brother going too far. The property owner would have no ability to accept or deny the new individual or family or to review their rental history. That seems like a whole different topic. It seems like a new tenant that you would have to, you don't review their rental history. You can't call their last landlord and find out, hey, did they pay the rent? Did they trash the place? Oh, boy. Good ideas run amok. It reminds me of another bill that may or may not even be in place, I think, in the San Francisco area, where if you own units, could be a duplex, could be a fourplex, four units, and you decide you want to sell, you have to give the tenants an option to buy. And you know what? I think that should be a law. Why wouldn't you want to give the tenants the first right? It's called first right of refusal. Mm-hmm. And you can actually put that into a lease, that you have the first right of refusal. And why would a landlord or an owner not want to do that? There's probably some reasons. I mean, for example, Richard. Who would want to sell to Richard? He's got like 14 dogs and chickens. And so, no, seriously, you know, it's good for a tenant to have the option to buy. Guy's going to sell. Give your tenant some notice. Say, hey, I'm going to put this on the market in 60 days. Or I should say, I'm going to put this on the market and I'm going to give you 60 days, you know, give you a chance to go to a lender, give you a chance to look around and see what else is out there at this price. And, you know, if someone has the money to buy a house and they're a tenant, they might be qualified already. They might be tuned into the market. So it's a good idea, and I think a landlord should allow, you know, a tenant the option to purchase. But then it went too far, and it could be if it's a duplex or a fourplex, you got four different people, and they said you have to give all four of them the right to purchase. You got to get them all to agree, and it wasn't, you know, hey, in 60 days you come up with a partnership agreement, you come up with pre-approval. That's a long time. Most contracts, when you buy a house, you only have 17 days to provide full loan approval, 21 days for an appraisal contingency, 17 days for an inspection contingency. This one went way out of the parameters of any normal sale. You might say, well, but these people weren't prepared. Okay, that's fine. Let's give them more time than usual. But it was way beyond that. It was, I don't remember the exact days, but it was 60 days to even say they wanted to purchase. And then it was another 60 days to allow them to get pre-approved. I mean, it was so extraordinary. I don't remember the details, but it was so far beyond the typical parameters and loan, you know, loan contingencies and due diligence. And again, I think you should give a tenant more because they're not prepared. They're not shopping for a house. So absolutely, give them a lot more time, but it was extraordinary. It was way too much. So what do you title that? Too Much Time? Oh, we should have played that song. Is it The Doors, Time? Or Simon and Garfunkel, Time. Look what's become of me. Time in a Bottle, mm-hmm. Jim Croce. This is time in an apartment. Okay, so that's number two, legislative updates. Now, speaking of speaking of housing, artificial islands. Well, let's get this out of the way. I don't know if I mentioned this last week. $250,000 house is the smallest parcel. $250,000 house is on the smallest parcel in San Diego. Reminds me of Neil Ablett, who had a parcel downtown off of East Haley, right off of State. The size of his parcel is the size of a two-car garage, 20 feet by 20 feet. And he built a three-story home.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You don't remember that? He's been on the program. We had him on the program when he was a man on the street. He was developing it, and it was designed by Jeff Shelton, who eventually was a guest on the program. I don't know if I talked to him a lot about that. That was his big hit. So $250,000, the price tag for one National City home, is hard to beat. It's on L Avenue. It's on a 500-square-foot lot. Well, that's bigger than Neil Ablett's 400-square-foot hut, with a 94-year-old house occupying 98% of it. Now, today, you need setbacks and all that stuff, but in Neil's case, because it was probably in commercially zoned, he had zero lot line, like most commercial properties are. And It says, depending on your point of view, it's either the last gasp of a market that is overheated or a screaming deal in a region that has largely stopped building single-family homes. Listing agent says it's located in a nice area, and the cost to rehab the property, now completely gutted, may not be too expensive because it's such a small house. Did it say the, well, it's 500 square foot lot, so the house is about 500 square feet, which is a hell of a lot bigger than this guy in Hong Kong who's living in, the median size is 57 square foot per person in Hong Kong, according to a 2016 government report. So she says it wouldn't cost you that much to rehab, 500, you know, you can get 8 Hong Kongians to live there. Is that what you call people from Hong Kong? Hong Kongians? It's incongruous. The home is in extreme disrepair and has the smallest lot size of any single-family property for sale in the county. Now, another guy, agent from La Jolla, which is the high end there, said a better value would be a resale condo that is around the same cost in a different neighborhood with less work needed. If you're going to find a single-family house in the $250,000 range, that fits the bill, but it's not a great area. Well, didn't the listing agent just say it's a good area? It's in a nice area. He says it's not in a great area. Small lot, small house, one bedroom, beat up. The most expensive tiny home at $1.3 million has similar dimensions to this National City house, but with ocean views. That house is on Orchid Avenue in Point Loma. 440 square feet. However, the parcel size is over 8,000 square feet. Well, that seems like a bargain. I was up in Buellton, where first I went to Hollister Ranch, and I met the young woman riding her bicycle from San Francisco to L.A. And then I went up to Buellton and I sat next to a woman who bought, you know, that's kind of a good story. What she bought, she used to live in Santa Barbara in a condo. She got out of the condo. This guy was saying you should buy a condo instead of the house. And she bought something similar. Well, you know what? I'll finish that story when we come back. And then we can also get into the artificial islands to the rescue in Hong Kong. And Bob's your uncle.